Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're now joined by C.J. Moore from The Athletic. C.J., you're in Dallas?
Correct.
Have you seen Rashee Rice by any chance?
I have not.
Okay. Mark that down, Jake. We're looking too. All right, then. Thank you.
We'll take his word for it right now.
Have you seen... Have you seen any teams in this tournament going a 30-0 run?
I did see that.
Good God. I mean, I hate to say this. I hate to minimize the rest of the teams in this tournament, but are we just watching the UConn Invitational again? I mean, is anyone going to do anything to even compete with UConn, or a week from now, or a week and a day from now, are we just going to be talking about, well, UConn, 12 straight double-digit victories? I feel like Purdue might have something to say, but then again, I mean, Illinois is supposed to put up a bigger fight than that, and
they're on
the wrong end of a 30-0 run, CJ.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that somebody's going to at least give them a game at the Final Four. I mean, Alabama is going to put up a million threes. And in 40 minutes, anything can happen, you'd think. So maybe somehow. I mean, I doubt it, but maybe Alabama pulls it off just because, like, it, you know, I could see them winning the game 102-100. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop Connecticut, but maybe they can outshoot them. And then Purdue's pretty dang good. So, I mean, that's kind of the game I've wanted to see all year, Purdue, UConn. You know, I want to see Klingon versus Edie. I think that'd be pretty fun. If we get that national championship, those have been the best two teams all year. If we get that national championship, maybe it'll be a good one. I sure hope so. I don't want to just see two UConn blowouts.
And let's be honest, if we get that matchup and UConn wins, there's a chance I win some money. So we're all rooting for that. heavily. I'm just getting a sampling here of people and their complaints. I saw somebody tweet, if Zach Edey gets these officials in the Final Four, Purdue will win the title.
You get fouled, people. Like, come on, just relax.
And see, I mean, the quote from Rick Barnes is going around for how much time he spends in the paint, and so I don't know. Rick Barnes doesn't love that either. I mean, look, the guy is like, I mean, he's a physical specimen. Okay, here, Rick Barnes on Zach Edey. He never leaves the paint, so it's hard to defend him. that's kind of the point, and I get it. People are wondering, like, I mean, well, hell, it did get a little anticlimactic with continual trips to the free throw line, but that's what you do. The game plan was clear yesterday against Tennessee. Feed him the basketball and make them foul him or try to stop him. And he did miss some free throws down the stretch, but still, he's just... There's a reason why he's the player of the year, and he's been considered the best player in college basketball, right? That's the whole deal. He's so big and he's so strong, you almost have to foul him to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Shaq back in the day. Like, you know, always been the hardest player to officiate. David O'Neill did a really good story talking to officials, and they said just that. He's the hardest player to officiate. You know, I think they miss some, honestly. Like, I think they let the other team get away with some things sometimes. So, I mean, most of the time when he's getting fouled, it's actually a foul. Are officials going to be perfect? No. But, you know, for the most part, he is actually getting fouled. I love Rick Barnes. I'm a big, you know, I think Rick Barnes gets too much flack. Kind of like Matt Painter, you know, both those coaches. I was going to enjoy seeing one of them make the Final Four, but come on, Rick, I'm a little disappointed. He said that you lost. The big dude dominated. No need to like make, you know, kind of sound like a sore loser afterwards.
I will say this. I'm watching, like, I'm on the ESPN box score of the game, and it's showing just like a loop of highlights of Edie. And in every one of the highlights, he's catching the ball out of the paint and then backing his way down and turning and dunking on people, you know. So
until Rick Barnes there.
I mean, I think, yeah, like, I think it's it would be interesting to see if you really did a study, does he get more fouls or less fouls than he should? You know, I think it's more likely that he gets less calls than he should, even though he's getting all those calls, because there's no way to defend him once he gets the ball down there other than to foul him, right?
Yeah, there was one play I remember, you know, in the second half, maybe relatively late, where, like, I thought he should have been going to the line, because it's like a shooter who you come into their area when they shoot the ball, you know, like somebody just, like, he went up for a jump hook and, like, dude, pushed forward and, like, went into his landing space. Like, that's a foul for any jump shooter, but it's, you know, why wasn't it a foul for him there? So I do think they missed some on him. You know, guys put two arm bars on him a lot of times. Like, that's almost an automatic call, and they don't always give him that. So, yeah, I mean, anybody who's, like, complaining about, oh, he goes to the line so much, like, it's because he's getting fouled. It's just like Shaq back in the day. Like, it's almost impossible to defend him because he's so big and so strong. And you got to give him credit. He's also skilled. Like, it's not like he's just a large human who's has no skill. Like, he's really, really skilled and a pretty darn good basketball player.
So one of the most enjoyable players to watch in this tournament has clearly been DJ Burns from North Carolina State. And they put it on Duke and pulled away in that game. But now you have, you know, Zach Edey, who obviously we talked about what a beast he is. Mm-hmm. And then you got this kid that 6'9", 275, who is such a unique player to watch. I mean, I marveled at some of the baskets he made yesterday just from his footwork. He's so light on his feet. And it's been fun to watch, like, NFL Twitter, like, yeah, I wonder if he ever might consider giving basketball up and going to the NFL. Because if there was ever a guy who could be an unbelievable left tackle because of his footwork and athleticism, it's DJ Burns. But he's fun to watch, and like 275 pounds. What's that matchup going to look like down low on Saturday?
It's going to be fascinating because, you know, Edie can basically, you know, a lot of times Purdue will throw it into him. If he's not close enough to the basket, he'll throw it back and try to get a little bit better position. But let's say DJ Burns is the one guarding him. He's not going to be able to move DJ Burns. Like, you're not going to be able to push that guy back. And same thing on the other end. Like, if he's guarding Burns, you know, he's not going to be able to just back Edie. Like, I think Edie will be able to, for the most part, hold his position. Maybe, you know, maybe fall back a little bit. But so that's what's going to be fascinating. Like, the lower body strength for both those guys is pretty good. And usually they can just overpower the other opponent. So, you know, and Burns, what's so awesome about him is he can just get into you and he just, like, you know, just flips it right over your hands. You know, like, he can't jump, but he somehow just, like, lost the ball up and over you and it goes in. Well, Edie's a little bit bigger, you know, something to loft over. Can he do that against him? And can Edie, you know, if he can't get closer, like, obviously he'll be able to shoot over Burns because Burns isn't, you know, super tall. But he might not be able to get the position. So, you know, it'll be fascinating to kind of watch that chess match. And do they actually guard each other? They probably will, but who knows? And, you know, maybe both players are just in so much foul trouble that we have to watch everybody else play.
C.J. Moore from The Athletic is our guest. It was interesting. I was reading some tweets from Frank Martin, head coach at UMass, obviously the former head coach at K-State. But he was tweeting about the big men that have been showcased in this NCAA tournament. And look, right now we're talking about, you know, Zach Edey and DJ Burns, and then UConn. Everyone wants to see what happens when Edey and Donovan Klingon face off in the national championship game. And Frank Martin was tweeting about this, and he got some pushback, but he was just talking about all these different teams play through their big man or play through their center, and so people were going back and forth with him, and basically, we said UConn plays with their center, Purdue plays with their center, Duke plays with their center, and NC State plays with their center, Alabama, Texas, Rim with their centers. And so then people started to push back, and basically he just ended up trying to say that, you know, sometimes the big man is disrespected, and there is a place in basketball still, not just as a stretch four, as a space filler. What do you take away from seeing these very impressive athletic big men that are being showcased right now on the biggest stage in college basketball?
Well, you know, I think it's the beauty of college basketball. Like, you can have such different styles, and you know, you can win so many different ways. You know, Alabama is the NBA approach of, I mean, even on steroids, like it's to another level of, you know, shoot a bunch of threes, space the floor, keep the lane open, you know, modern basketball. And then Purdue is just like straight old school, you know, play through the big man. They post up more than any team in the country. But also shoot a fair number of threes and space, you know, usually put four shooters on it on the floor around Zach. But also have lineups where they have two post-up players. Like, that's what they start. So it's just kind of cool to see that. I did a story before the tournament on playmaking centers and, you know, how college basketball has so many of these guys can pass now. And you play through those guys on the perimeter. You see a lot of Princeton type action. You know, while DJ Burns is really good at back down, he also can do. He's a phenomenal passer. And you know, DJ Klingon, as big as he is, he's a really, really good passer and likes to play on the perimeter, not as a shooter, but as a passer. So I think it's kind of been the last couple of years. It's been the year it's almost been the year of the big man each year, because a lot of these kids are staying in school a little bit longer than they maybe would have in the 90s, because the NBA doesn't want them. But they can still be really good in college basketball.
But I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, like, what kind of a prospect is Edie at the NBA level?
I think the NBA is coming around on him maybe a little bit, because he is so dominant. But, you know, the fear is that he will just get crushed in ball screens. I think he's gotten better at that this past season, and that's why, like, I think the league is probably coming around on him a little bit. But the spacing in the NBA is even better than the spacing in college basketball, and that's what's going to be the challenge. But, I mean, I think he can score on anybody. Like, in the league, the athletes are a little bit longer and a little taller. So maybe it'll be a little bit, you know, obviously it's going to be harder. But I think at least, like, as a change up off the bench to bring him in and score, I think he'll make it.
So, I mean, because that is like the fact that, because just being a 7-footer used to be like, hey, if you're Greg Ostertag, you're going to go play 10 years in the NBA. Now that's like, yeah, no, our 7-footers can shoot and handle the rock and run the floor. So it's not what it used to be. But I think that part of that idea that Frank Martin's talking about playing through the center doesn't mean it's going inside to be scored every single time. It's just by getting the ball inside, you can unbalance defenses, right? Like, it's a way to break down defenses for your shooters. That was the way Bill Self always wanted to play over the years, even when David McCormick was on the court for them. So, I mean, do you think maybe sometimes people confuse what he's saying? If they're pushing back on this, it doesn't mean you're not still a good outside shooting team just because you play through your center, I guess, is the point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the point of offense is to try to get two on the ball and then play to advantages. And, like, you know, NC State, for example, like against Marquette doubled him every time, and he's a phenomenal passer, and they got great shots because they doubled him. Duke decided, okay, we're not going to double him. And, you know, the one difference about the NBA and college, one of many differences about the NBA and college basketball is, in the NBA they have a Barkley rule where you can only back down a guy for 5 seconds, with a dribble. In college basketball, there is no Barkley rule. So DJ Burns can back you down as long as you want. And if you don't bring that double like we saw last night, like, he's usually going to score on you. But if you do, he's a great, you know, then you get to the ball, then you play to advantages. So it's just good, smart basketball to try to create those scenarios.
All right, so this is we talked earlier about UConn and what they've done, 10 straight double-digit wins in the NCAA tournament. I mean, their average margin of victory in this tournament is almost 28 points, a 30-0 run that buried a good Illinois team. You know, for just the average college basketball fan, I mean, you're someone that sees so many different teams and has seen so many great teams up close. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an historical run right now, especially if they finish it off and win back-to-back. What separates them? Why are they so good? Why are they not only winning, but why are they beating the hell out of everyone? Because this is abnormal.
Well, I think they're really, really well constructed, fit really well in their roles. Like, it's not like they have, like, elite NBA players. All five of their starters, I think, at some point play in the league. But there's only a couple guys that are, like, no doubters. But I went there for the first time this year, and what stuck out to me was I was there the day before they played Marquette. They practiced for 3 hours, which was, like, just mind-blowing that they went for 3 hours that late in the year before a game. And Dan Hurley, like, any little tiny mistake, it was like his whole body responded. Like, he just, like, he does not tolerate any mistakes. The standard is the standard at every second of every day. And that's how they play. Like, they just don't let up on you. Like, some teams get up 20 and they relax, and then the score gets back to 10, right? Like, they just keep going and keep going and keep going. And not only is it Hurley, but, like, I think one thing that's taken this team to another level is, and one of the most important guys is, I wrote about him last week, Cam Spencer, who is just as crazy as Hurley is. And, kind of helps them keep that standard. Like, he is on dudes if they mess up. And he's a really, really smart basketball player. So they all understand who they are. Role definition is tremendous. And they're just really, really good on both ends. So usually that ends to the score just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the league getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they don't let up.
So, but I feel like you've described things we've seen, like when KU's had some really good teams, mm-hmm. they'd be loaded with players like that all over the place. And Bill Self, obviously, ultimate competitor, you always marvel at the way he could get guys to buy in and play their roles and play hard. And they've had tournament success. Nothing dominant like this. I mean, other teams, Duke, North Carolina, whatever, that have had, they might be good, but not this dominant. Is there anything to be said for the other side of it? Like, there maybe aren't as many teams that are this great and well-constructed as there used to be? Or does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah. I mean, the heyday of college basketball was the 1990s, you know, like the early 90s when guys were staying in school. So, I mean, obviously the quality of the teams is maybe not what it used to be. And, you know, on some of these, you know, runs, they've probably missed some of the better teams. Hopefully we'll get to see that, you know, maybe Monday night next week. But, one thing that Kansas has had some of these great teams, and maybe haven't been as dominant in the tournament. It kind of reminds me a little bit of their 08 team, KU's 08 team, who had a bunch of guys that were going to play in the league, but nobody that was, like, going to be a superstar in the league, but just, like, they played together so well and the pieces fit so well. And, you know, the thing with UConn as well, like, they're a really good shooting team. And I think when you get this confidence that they have, confidence is so big this time of year. Like you watch, you know, I was at the Marquette game the other day. Like, those guys were mentally broken after the way they started that game. And Connecticut has just been, like, so Hurley just gets, like, these little chips on his shoulder, and he brought up the quote against, you know, about Sean Harrington, former Kansas coach, by the way, told Bill Self to KU back in the day, brought up his quote about, like, you know, they hadn't seen anybody like Shannon, and, like, you know, he held on to that, and that was their edge that day, right? Like, okay, well, let's show these guys. And their confidence, I think, is just at such another level. This is, the snowball has rolled down the hill, and they just keep getting more and more confidence. And sometimes that's another reason, you know, in the tournament, so many teams feel that pressure so much, and they haven't succumbed to that at all.
So Alabama, UConn. I mean, you can't do anything but pick UConn now because it's just ridiculous. So I'll ask you about NC State and Purdue. I mean, NC State's not even supposed to be here. It's so crazy how close you were to not even making the NCAA tournament. Now here they are in the Final Four. What kind of fight do you expect them to put up against Purdue?
I mean, I feel, you know, at some point you would think, for these, you know, a team like that, like there's the saddest. You get so excited about just being there, and eventually there's a letdown. That might happen in the Final Four, but I mean, how could you bet against them not playing? You know, staying in the game now, like they're a totally different team than the one that went, you know, two games below 500 in the ACC. So I think we might have a pretty good game. I think the, you know, obviously the big man matchup is going to be huge, but I also look towards you know, Purdue, the point guard matchup. Like, Braden Smith has been so important to Purdue, kills people in drop coverage. Like, that's what NC State plays because there's no other choice with DJ Burns. So they'll put DJ Burns in a lot of ball screens if they can. They try, you know, NC State tries to keep him back in the paint, and they do some interesting switching stuff to try to avoid that. But I'm sure we'll see, you know, it's going to be a big Braden Smith game. And then on NC State side, their point guard, DJ Horn, like, I thought the reason NC State struggled the first half is because he wasn't making shots. And second half, he started making shots, and he, you know, he's got to be able to score the ball for them to be successful too. So that point guard matchup is going to be huge. So, you know, that might be what decides it. But hopefully, we get a good game. But I could also see Purdue, you know, pulling away and winning by like 15.
And then we all want, obviously, the matchup. I mean, nothing against Alabama, nothing against North Carolina State, but it feels like this whole thing has been pointing towards UConn and Purdue, and you feel like. I mean, I don't even know. Jake, what would the line be, you think? Is there anyone, a speculatory line of what that would be?
I think it's like 3.
Okay, all right. That'll work. So you would give Purdue a legitimate... You'd give them a legitimate chance to actually win that game.
Yeah. I think, to me, they'd have like a, you know, 40% chance of winning. Zach's such a hard player to defend. They would have to shoot the ball well. Like, they didn't shoot it well yesterday from 3. Guys like Mason Gillis, Fletcher Lawyer, Lance Jones, like, they'd have to make shots. Braden Smith, obviously. Braden Smith, like I said, best against drop coverage in the country. That's what Connecticut does with Clean. He'd have to hit a bunch of pull-ups off the dribble. But I can conceive of a way that Purdue actually wins that game. But so I'm fascinated to see that matchup. I hope it's a good one. Like, I hope we get like a really, really good quality national championship game, because you know, Purdue's got a really, really good record too, and they haven't been quite as dominant, but they've probably played they played one really, really good team in Tennessee. I think Tennessee might have pushed Connecticut a little bit. And, you know, Gonzaga's and Connecticut played earlier this year. I'm trying to remember. It was like it was fairly close for a while. Connecticut beat them by 13. Purdue beat Gonzaga by 12. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I want to see a good national championship game. So I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist.
Yeah, that's what we're all looking for. Hey, meanwhile, here locally, we're all looking at the transfer portal since none of our teams are engaged. So I want to ask you about the news that Kansas just got a transfer from Florida by the name of Riley Kugel, who averaged 9.2 points and 3.5 rebounds per game for the Gators this year as a sophomore. What kind of a get is this for Kansas?
Yeah, he's talented. I got suggested last fall to put him on my all breakout team, And so I went and watched a bunch of film from last – this was in the fall. I went and watched a bunch of film from last year. And I just didn't like his body language and kind of effort. And, you know, he eventually lost his starting spot pretty early on this year and didn't play as much this season. So I think there's going to be, you know, he's going to have to be coached and improve in some of those areas. But the talent is there. Like, he's a very good athlete. He can do things, getting, you know, slashing to the basket. Shot needs to get better. But there's a chance, I think, he becomes a better shooter. So he's a project, but one who's been in college for a couple of years and has ability. So I don't love it, but I, you know, they need talent and they need depth. So I think makes sense to take him.
I don't think that's the scouting report Nate was looking for.
CJ, after watching this Kansas team this past year, body language and effort—that's not something I want to hear.
Who's complaining?
That was a bad body language team this past year, if you ask me. So I'm not that. I hope they.
Oh, well done,
you
CJ.
You didn't have to tell me that, CJ.
Thanks for the rain on his parade. Hey, CJ, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
That's it.
That'll teach you to ask about the transfer portal.
Stupid. I don't like this transfer portal stuff.
You got any other questions?
I'm a big body language guy. Gino Auriemma had a great, great rant about body language a couple years ago, and I'm fully on board with him about that. Hopefully it's something that Bill Self can get corrected.
Yeah, it's coaching right out of him. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. At some point, we'll play some postgame from the Royals' 11-0 victory. I want to hear this Brady Singer. This guy went out there as... Jake Gutierrez says this guy went out there and shoved.
That's so stupid.
That's what you say all the time.
I never say that.
That's his favorite phrase.
You say it all the time.
This guy shoved last night.
He said this guy was shoved yesterday.
Shoving what?
Like, what are you talking about?
Stupid. He pitched great.
Why do you say he shoved all the time then?
I don't ever say that. You'll never. Nate said that last week and I cringed hard.
Ooh. I did?
Yeah.
I think you said it.
I think you said it to Mac. And I just.
I don't think I did. I don't believe that.
You want me? I will find it.
I don't think I said that.
You said it to one of our baseball guests, and you absolutely did, because I was like,
I don't believe you.
I'll find it.
What do you have against that?
I'll find it. Mission accepted. I know the assignment. I will find you saying that now.
I can't wait. Jake's going to spend 7 hours listening to every baseball interview
we've
had to try to find
it. I'll find it by the end of the show.
Do it.
I'll find it by the end of this hour.
I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm. I know the Royals are 1-2, but.
What's the run differential?
But. Three terrific starts so far this season. Cole Reagans, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. Seth Lugo, in his Royals debut, he went 6 strong innings. He only gave up 2 hits and 1 walk, struck out 4.
I guess those spring training numbers didn't really matter, huh?
And then Brady Singer, 7 innings, 3 hits. No runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Now, the Royals could be 2-1, but the bullpen blew it as the Royals had a 1-0 lead on Saturday, and the bullpen blew it. Now, the bullpen, they did a job yesterday in a blowout, so they really didn't have a job. It's like, go pitch and finish this game. But... in a couple of close games, the bullpen has not looked good. Thursday and then on Saturday. And look, they have a lot of new pieces. Jordan Lyles threw a scoreless inning yesterday.
There you go.
Close the game down.
But
he went out there and shoved.
But we get to see Seth Lugo, and I'm hoping, Mac, that he goes out and shoves just because that'll be one more. See, I didn't say anybody shoved.
Wow.
And by the way, what did Seth Lugo do? Jake?
Went out and shoved.
You
just
said
don't get it. It's so stupid.
It is a stupid phrase. I don't like the fact that I'm on tape saying that.
I like the fact that it took me less than 3 minutes to find it.
But I mean, think about this.
You're just like my third son.
19 innings, 10 hits.
You're in big trouble.
14 walks.
I know.
23 strikeouts for the three Royals starting pitchers. And now
you
we see
keep them healthy, man.
And now we see the debut of Michael Walker.
And the offense is going now.
Well, I won't go somewhere to say that.
Hey, 11 runs yesterday. Oh. They're on fire.
Hoop.
Plus 4 run differential on the season. We all know that's the barometer of a good team.
They'll be going up against a far more talented team now in Baltimore. So we'll see how that translates. But excited to see the debut for Michael Walker.
Heck yeah.
Very good so far. Excellent starting pitching so far.
Waka, waka.
Very exciting. And this is a good barometer for the Royals because the Orioles are considered a playoff team and just loaded with young talent. What do you think of this? What do you make of this first pitch? 5:35 p.m. That satisfy you?
That's tasty.
I like it because it's it gets us a half an hour of baseball before that LSU versus Iowa game starts.
Right.
So maybe get a sense for how that baseball game is going.
Oh, so you can actually watch it? Because
I bought the Bally Sports app.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, ooh. I did.
How much was that?
$100. I think it was $105.
People bitching about the app and everything else, and can't watch the game. It's all blah.
Well, as far as I, at least my experience,
did you spend some time on it so far?
On the app?
Yeah, has it worked so far? You said you
bought
it.
Yeah, I've watched one game on the app so far.
How did it go?
It worked fine. It worked fine for me, and I had it on my television. A lot of commercials for the British Basketball League during the game.
I don't know what that is.
It's a basketball league in Britain.
Yeah, I figured, but don't care.
Apparently, they have the rights for it on Bally's, and they are promoting it like crazy. So
it's absolutely something that I won't watch.
Yeah, I don't see myself watching any of those games either. But if you're wondering what other sports they have the rights to, I will just say this, though. If you want to watch the games, $105.
Talk to these people. Tell them. Tell them, Mr. Moneybags.
Wow, he's very nice.
Tell them what you do after you take your treasure bath.
Watch this.
Sterilize this.
Did he say big fat pig? Do you think
I believe
he did,
sire. Do you think he made me? I believe he did, sire.
Well, I wouldn't tell anybody how to spend their money.
I'm just saying, tell people.
If you want to watch the games, you can.
Okay.
It is available.
Was it worth it to you?
Is $106 too much? I will say this.
For some people, it is.
If it wasn't tied to my job, it would have been a more difficult decision.
Bathtub. Treasure bath.
Oh, be careful, dude. Be real careful. Be real careful. History of the World Part 1 does not translate to today's society. Be so careful. So, but you got it, and you haven't had any problems with it.
But I've only watched one game on it so far. So,
are you sure we're bragging it up? So, only one game.
It worked fine. It worked fine for me. I didn't have any issues. Get to hear Rhino and Hud, and enjoy listening to those guys. So, look, I broadcast games on a streaming service that you have to pay for. it is a part of the world now. And I understand that that's a part of the world that some people are like, yep, I'm done. I'm done paying for – I'm not going to pay for any more subscriptions because you're inundated with them now. They're all over the place. And I feel the same way. I'm subscribed to way more things than I want to be subscribed to.
I think people are angry because it's difficult. It's not easy to watch the Royals in Kansas City, the place where you should be able to watch them with little or no effort.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
So, no, it's not wrong.
It's right.
I don't know what the right pricing is. I compare it like so.
As to me, the right pricing? Free.
Right. Which doesn't exist anymore. Because you're either paying for cable or you're paying for a streaming service. You're paying for something. You know, I work for MLS Season Pass. That's about $90, roughly. I don't know the specific dollar amount, but it's about $90. And that gets you every game in the league, across the league, anywhere in the world, no blackouts, no restrictions. This just gets you Royals games, the $105 that I spent. Now, there's more games. You know, they play 162 games.
It's a good time to mention Sporting Kansas City got a great win. I watched them on Apple television.
Okay, there you go. If the KC Current got a great win and they're undefeated, they're on about, the NWSL's on about four or five different streaming services now. Some of their games are on the ESPN, some of them are on CBS/Paramount+, some of them are on Amazon. So you got to have like four different streaming services if you want to watch all the NWSL games. What's better? I don't know what the best answer is these days.
One that I already paid for.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so I do. It does seem to me like $105 for just one team. That, and now Bally Sports would say, well, you get the whole Bally Sports Kansas City app. Yeah, but like, what other things are you really trying to watch on there?
We don't hear too many complaints about it. I can't watch the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, if they play on.
Another reason why the NFL is king.
Yeah. NFL also gets all those TV. You know, the NFL is so popular that all the TV outlets are paying billions of dollars.
And people were complaining when it got put on Peacock.
They're putting games on Peacock and on Amazon now. You hear complaints about that, don't you?
Playoff games. I mean,
yeah. But playoff game was on Peacock.
But also in Kansas City, you could just turn it on to the local NBC affiliate, and it was there.
There you go. There you are.
Yeah.
That's why.
They make it easy to access. It doesn't have to be hard for everyone.
But, you know. These networks are paying a lot of money for the NFL, and they put it out there.
Yeah, the NFL almost gets to play by different rules than everybody else.
Because it's the best.
Right?
Because it's the best.
I mean, no argument here.
And also, like, a lot of those, like, Paramount, Peacock, Amazon, I already have those because I watch a lot of things on those. Hulu.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of things on those. It's when you're forced to buy something that you wouldn't, that you don't have anyway. You know what I mean? That's what I think irritates people. Like, I'm watching Amazon. I'm watching, you know, Netflix is getting into it now. I've got all these. That's part of what I do anyway. You just don't want to be forced to watch, you know, to buy something that you're not going to use. That's why I've been hoping for more content, original content on Apple Plus.
Yeah. Apple Plus is way behind when it comes to the streaming numbers because Ted Lasso is the only show they've had so far that's been a big hit. So they've got to come up with more of that. But the thing about the MLS season pass thing is you have to buy the season pass. Like, just having Apple TV doesn't get you all those games. You got to buy a season pass. Now, if you buy a season pass, you get all the games, the whole league, and all the other content.
And if you're a big soccer fan, then it's worth it.
If you're an MLS fan. There's a lot of soccer fans that don't love MLS.
Ooh.
You know, so that's a challenge, too. I mean, so where all this goes, I mean, the frustrating thing in baseball for a long time was you can buy the MLB app where you get all the games, but you can't get your own game in your own market because they're blacked out.
Ridiculous.
It's stupid.
That's the part where you're like, oh, my god!
Like,
gosh,
if you buy
the
that,
dumbest thing ever.
That's ridiculous.
So dumb.
Well, Major League Baseball has a solution that they could have, and it would solve a lot of the economic problems in baseball too. And they will not do it. They won't do it.
What?
Take the broadcasting rights in house by the whole league. Do the same thing that what MLS is doing right now. This is our product. You want to watch your team's games on television, you buy the MLB app. You watch the games there. And then they spread all that television revenue evenly across all the teams.
No way.
They ain't going to do it. But that's what the NFL does. That's what the NFL does. That's what Major League Soccer is doing. And Major League Baseball would be so much better as a sport if they did that.
No way. Get lost.
And they ain't going to do it.
You're a company man, aren't you? We get you.
I'm a Kansas City guy. I would like to see Kansas City get the same amount of television revenue as the L.A. Dodgers.
Not happening, buddy.
Why would you want to do that when the NFL has proven how well it works? Why would you want to do that? Which sport's the most popular in this country?
That's the NFL. That's football.
Yeah, Nate. And where do the biggest stars in the NFL currently play?
Kansas City?
Market 31. Is it damaging the popularity or the television ratings of the NFL? Is there any fear that the Chiefs cannot afford to keep those players because the big markets have so much more money to spend than them? But in baseball, the Royals have to do this with Bally Sports because they got to try to squeeze every single nickel out of their local television market that they possibly can. But there's no physical way for them to ever generate the kind of revenue that teams from New York and Boston do because of the stupid construct of their television rights. But, I mean, I'm shouting into the wind. There's nothing. It's not going to change. The MLB is not going to change it. But it's an easy solution. It's right there. Take your broadcasts in-house, make them global.
Just get a round of applause for Nate Buchanan on his soapbox early on this Monday morning. People Thank like you. It. You know? People like it. Now people tell people how they should vote tomorrow.
However,
vote
how you feel.
No. You're telling people how to spend their money. I tell people how to tell them.
Not telling
their
anybody
vote.
How to spend their money.
We're going to send
I am
you
telling
out.
Major
We're going
to Baseball send you out to the how polls. They had to run their business.
We're going to send you out to the polls.
What does that even mean? Out to the polls.
We're going
to
have people, when they exit the polls, when they exit where they vote, we're going to have you up there with a microphone.
Man on the street.
And say, hey, how did you vote?
Or, yeah,
or
nay.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Get an idea. Man on the street, like he said. You just said you love Kansas City.
Yeah.
Let's get you out there. Big day in Kansas City, partner.
It is a big day. I will not tell people how to vote.
Jake and I talked about this, and we want you to. We want you to go there and try to tell people how to vote as they're walking
in. Mix it up, though. Like, tell some people, hey, vote no.
Yeah.
And then go tell some other people, hey, you're
just tell
vote.
People what
yeah.
to do.
Just tell them. But not
people,
everybody. Don't like make a blanket statement.
People
like,
need to be told what to do nowadays.
Do you think hey, me telling people what to do is more likely to make them do it or do the opposite?
I don't know. We have to find
because, like with Jake, as we found out, like he's just like my son Andy, the surest way to get Jake to bust his ass to do something is go, I don't think he can find that. I don't think he can do that. But we get to see Seth Lugo, and I'm hoping, Mac, that he goes out and
God, I
shoves,
knew that would
motivate
just,
him so much. Nah, I don't think he can find it.
All I know is you said you didn't say that, and he did.
No, he said someone shoved.
Well, but it's the same thing. You used the terminology.
No, present tense versus past tense.
Like you use the word shove.
Yeah.
Why don't you like that?
I don't. It's just because it doesn't make any sense to me. Because you don't shove pitches.
No, you throw them.
Yeah.
He shoved.
No, he didn't. No. Like,
the point is, Brady Singer was terrific,
I mean, really
no matter
good.
How you want to say it.
Right.
I'll show you shoving.
Oh, boy.
Does this give you hope? Well, see, it's three games. I mean, people even panic. Who cares? I mean, you know what? It's just three games. It gives me hope because the most I want to see the starting pitching perform at a high level. And
right.
So far, you couldn't ask for more.
No.
Could not ask for more.
Well, it's lined up. You're not going to see 32 different starters.
You hope not.
Yeah, right.
It should be a dramatic improvement.
Yeah, there's going to be something has gone seriously wrong if that happens.
Shall we break? Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Remember, since the Royals scored more than 7 runs, 11 to be exact, in their shutout victory over Minnesota yesterday. The Royals score 7 or more runs. You get 7% off your next order at TicketsForLess.com when you use promo code ROYALS7. All season long, Tickets for Less will give 7% off tickets when the Royals score 7 or more runs in a game. Learn more and save at TicketsForLess.com/Royals. Plus, while you're there, you can sign up for the MJ Melendez Home Run Sweepstakes at TicketsForLess.com/Royals. Thank you very much. Coming up, we'll talk to Jarrett Sutton about some college basketball in the next hour, both the men's tournament and the women's tournament. So, not falling for it. Not falling for the Justin Reed tweet. Thank you. Ryan tried to get me and just sent me the tweet from Justin Reed. I don't know if Ryan you're trying to get me or if Ryan you fell for it and forgot it was April 1st, but.
Got him!
I was born at night, but not last night. So Justin Reed has a. Let me even read it. Freak people out.
Nah. Sure.
For the last 4 years or so, I've been in the cycle on injury, pain, rehab. I felt stuck in it. The only way I see out is no longer play football. It's taken the joy of this game away. Thank you, everyone, who supported me on this incredible journey. I love you all. So.
I believe I stood in line on the Southwest with Justin Reed on my flight to Houston this past weekend.
You did what?
I believe I stood in line with Justin Reed on my, like, he was, like, right behind me on the flight to Houston.
Did you say anything to him?
No.
Why?
Well, what am I going to say to him?
Hi, Justin. How you doing? I'm Nate. I was the morning show on 810. How's everything going?
I mean, I didn't feel like he would care who I am.
Well, he sure as hell doesn't care if you don't talk to him. I wasn't sure,
and I'm not even positive it's him.
He's probably the nicest guy in the locker room.
Incredibly nice guy.
That's how you build relationships. Absolutely, you should have said something to him. You said, hey, D's nuts, huh? What are you laughing for in there?
Nothing.
No, you get it. Don't you can't just giggle and cover your face with paper.
Well, Justin Reed's like, I wasn't in Houston this weekend. What the hell is he talking about?
I could be totally wrong. I could be wrong. But I was like, I swear this is Justin Reed, and I know he's from Houston originally. And I was on a flight to Houston, and I'm like, I think this is him, but I'm not positive. And I could be wrong.
PowerZoo just tweeted out.
Oh, boy.
Multiple sources have told us Mizzou has made the decision to retain women's basketball coach Robin Pingston for next season. The Tigers were 11-19 and 2-14 in the SEC, which, again, is very interesting. They've decided to retain her, yet there is no AD.
April Fools?
I don't know.
I love how April Fool's, like, it's the one day people, like, read the internet and are actually skeptical. Like, is this real?
But, like, can you retain, how do you retain the coach and say, yeah, you're good before you hire the AD?
Coach!
The AD might come like, wait a minute, I don't. Don't you? Or not?
I mean, I don't know.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Or no?
Board of curators want it, they get it. That's how it works down there.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.